So if you're following along on your tablet, it's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed the two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
Have you ever been face down in a pile of fish? I want to commend it to you. It might be the most important thing you can ever do in life is to be face down in a pile of fish. It'll change your life. I'm going to ask you again at the end, have you been face down in a pile of fish? Let's come back to that. I love this passage of Scripture. What was the crowd doing at the start? Do you remember? They're pressing in. That's a great start. Part A, 2. Yeah. They were pressing in to hear the Word of God. Pray, Lord, we've been praying, would that be our posture today and always? Press in to hear God's word. The crowd were pressing in, and Jesus, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw a couple of boats, and this big crowd came in, so he asked for the use of the boats, and he stood in it, and Jesus started preaching, as he had done. He's gone back, and there's a group of people who had wanted to hold him with them, and he said, no, I must go on, because I must proclaim the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is out. Crowds are wanting to hear it. He's preaching, stands out in the boat. He preaches, and then at the end, he says to Peter, "Hey, press out and pop your nets out into the deep." And Peter looks and he says, "Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing." That master, that's not like master, it's a facetious master. Kind of eye roll at it. Who's the master fisherman? The son of the carpenter? Or the son of the fisherman who was the son of a fisherman who was the son of a fisherman who spent every day of his life basically learning the trade, being on the lake, just spent the entire night fishing? They're, what are they? They're tired. disappointed. This is a livelihood thing here, isn't it? It's not just recreational fishing. This is livelihood. Tired, disappointed, it's fruitless, and they've just tidied up. They've just cleaned the nets. Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll drop down the nets. Notice the negativity, really, the reluctance. But even in that reluctance and in that disappointment and weariness, in obedience to the word of God, and what happens? I've got it in front of me. I can cheat, but what happened? You tell me. What happened? Fish in the net. How many fish? Huge. Breaking the nets in the boat. What happened to the boat as these fish kept on coming in? Alistair's got it in front. What happened, Alistair? It's sinking. Not about to. This boat is so full of fish. The boat's going down. How did the fish get into the net? It swam. Boat's about to sink. Jesus, the authority of the word of Jesus, the living word, speaks. Creation responds. We have seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons. The authority of the word made flesh. And in that moment, Peter recognizes the authority of Jesus, God's word. What happens? What happens when he encounters Jesus, not as another person, you know, master, whatever, but as the living word, the one with all authority? We're going to look at that. Falls down on his face at Jesus' feet. But a picture of the boat, right? We're in a boat, standing in a boat. Boat's going to come up to at least yay high, right? How many fish were there, Alistair? Lots and lots. So the point where the boat's sinking, right? Because Jesus is standing there, fish up to what, at least here? Peter standing here, fish up to what, at least here? Falls down at Jesus' feet. Where's Peter's face? Face down in a pile of fish. Why? Because he recognizes who Jesus is. And what does he call him now? Not Master, Lord. The name for Yahweh. The God of the covenant. The God of the covenant. The one whose word brings life. Flourishing. Covenant forgiveness and hope. And Peter, who was tired, had done all the stuff he could in his own strength, had been fruitless, wearied, worn out, and even with reluctance had obeyed the word of God and had had this incredible encounter with the authority and power of Jesus. He falls down, face first, in a pile of fish. Have you ever been face down in a pile of fish? It might be the most important thing you can do in life. It'll change your life. He has an encounter with God. An awe. And a fear comes over him in the encounter of God. This is if we'd read, the first reading was from Isaiah. Isaiah encounters the holiness of God. The power of God is completely undone in that encounter and falls down flat. We call it a theophany, is the fancy flash word. Or fear, humility, a complete undoing of any self-righteousness, a complete stripping away of any pride, a sense of, you know, a creatureliness, a shortcomings, a sinfulness, bare and exposed and humble worship. An awareness of the power of the Word made flesh. So in that encounter, Peter recognizes him as Lord, the God of the covenant, the one with all authority. Then he also responds and he recognizes his own shortcomings and his sin. And it flat on his face, the crowd had been pressing in towards Jesus, right? And what does Peter now do? Oh, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He recognizes and that this holy presence and authority of God is shortcoming. But isn't this this beautiful thing that this is a theme in Luke's gospel, the testimony of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is going to go and say, I've come not to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. This is the first person, the first time that sinner is used in Luke's gospel. Who is the one that recognizes his own sinfulness in the presence of God? Peter, the one that Jesus will call to build his church upon, to go and send out and ahead. Isn't that great news? It's bits that have come through the service already. Not because of who you are, who I am, who we are, but because of who God is. We don't have to cower in that. We have to acknowledge there is that reality of our shortcoming that strips us and purifies us of our pride or our self-righteousness or any sense that, you know, we're more worthy. As Phil shared, no, we all come on that basis, face down in a pile of fish in that reality. And yet this is reality that that God would call us and use us and desire relationship with us, the God of the covenant. The one with life would call us to that. Peter falls flat on his face and recognizes his need for forgiveness. And it's at that moment he recognizes the authority of Jesus, his own need for forgiveness. And in that moment, there is a fear of God, the beginning of all wisdom. It comes through over and over. It's not an Old Testament thing. It's also a New Testament thing. This recognition. And what's the response of Jesus? Fear not. It's a response in the Old Testament. Fear not. Fear not. One who recognizes their need is met with this revelation of the character of God. The Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The God of the covenant who comes to save, to seek and save the lost, to heal, to restore, to bring life. It was a Tozer that said, what we think of when we think of God is what says most about us. If we had that encounter with God and then seen the revelation of God's character, that God is for you, that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, has come not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners, me, you, us. That's who God is, and Peter encounters those things, the authority, his sin, that transforming forgiveness and power. The last part, there's more to it, isn't there? In that recognition and in that moment, Peter encounters the transforming power of God's grace to take him from one way to another. A call to die to self effectively, to leave all, the cost of discipleship, to leave. And that was a lot of money's worth of fish, yeah? Yeah, the prosperity gospel would say, see, God wants to bless you, take it, pocket it. No, no. Hey, here's my authority, here's the power, here's the abundance of life. But actually, you want me. I'm calling you to be with me. Leave that and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I will call to you a life as my disciple to make disciples of others. I will call you into this work and this purposes of God, of restoring, redeeming, healing, renewing this new people, as Phil shared, who come to the table of God, empty-handed, side by side as sons and daughters, beloved, and called to purpose. Peter, face down in a pile of fish, encounters a calling. I'm reading this week, I'm not all the way through it, but I'm reading a book called The Death of Ivan Illich, Tolstoy. And not the way through, but it's the story of a man who had given himself really to a bourgeois life, you know, to aspirations to rise up in power and what others thought about him, spending his beyond his means to be important. He's self-interested and worried about the comforts of life and his enjoyments and hobbies. And then he's struck down with an illness. And he's confronted with the reality of death. He's confronted with his mortality. I thought about that's interesting, isn't it? That I think there's a truth that in life, that there's actually a good thing when we recognize our mortality. It actually can change things. Like we live in denial, like to deny, don't worry. Then all of a sudden it hits us and it's like, ah, there's kind of an awakening. It's like being hit by a bucket of water in a way that can be very, very helpful. So you often, pastor, I'll talk with people, we see it and... anyone really, you can get a diagnosis of something and it just sharpens things. And it struck me as if that's what an encounter with the powers of death can do in your life. Like if an encounter with death can have a transformative moment to reawaken and to reorder life, how much more an encounter with the one who is life? How much more of a transforming, reordering effect would it be to the one with the power of life, whose word has life, it's the authority of life, the power over death? Isn't that a fascinating thing? Am I off randomly on there because of this book I was reading? But it's like recognizing mortality and death changes me. How much more this encounter with the authority and the goodness and the wonder of God. Peter recognizes Jesus as Lord. He recognizes the power of his word. He recognizes his own shortcoming. He encounters the grace of God, and he gets this incredible call to now live in light of Jesus and Jesus' kingdom, to die to all else, and to live and be about the purposes of God with an amazing calling and purpose. Isn't that extraordinary? Have you ever been face down in a pile of fish? It'll change your life. You've encountered the love of the God of covenant. As Will and I hadn't talked before, the one who says, I'll take this on. I will be faithful even though you're not. And the power of that transforming love and promise to go forth and live in that kingdom. Got a couple of thoughts. First one is, I'll ask the question again. Have you been face down in a pile of fish? Have you recognized the lordship of Jesus? Have you recognized, in an honest way, that you, me, we fall short. We've gone off in our own ways. I am a sinful person. And then the God of grace who would look and say, fear not. If you've hit that moment, one of the outward ways we can express that is through baptism. That's a moment. We don't go face down in a pile of fish. Often it might be, you know, back down in a bucket of water or pouring water over us. But that's an outward expression of that inward reality of saying the old has gone, the new has come. I've encountered in Jesus as Lord. And just as I die to myself in death, so sure I will rise with him in this new life. And follow on the way of Jesus as a disciple who makes other disciples. Why might we do that? Well, if nothing else, because Jesus asks that as a response. The word of God with authority says, yeah, be baptized. Notice Peter, even in a sort of half-hearted, didn't fully get it. But in his obedience to the word of God, actually has a greater encounter and revelation of what God would do with that obedience. So here's an invitation for you. If you haven't been baptized, or maybe you were baptized as an infant and those promises were made to you as a young one, to be confirmed and to take that, and again, to publicly declare that reality. I'd love to talk with you. If that's a conversation you want to have, I'd love to gather a group. We can do preparation to explore more baptism and confirmation. But to respond to Jesus, hear his word and obey to be baptized. Have you done that? Second thing, just on reflection, I'm thinking, are we fishing? Are we fishing? Are we disciples of Jesus? I know you are. Are we disciples making disciples? Giving ourselves to this word, sharing this word, sharing this good news, being ambassadors, following the way of Jesus, disciple making. I want to go back and check the text. It was in a different translation, but I'm pretty sure my hope was, and I think it says, and I will make you fishers of people. It's coming up, and it's like, I can't do anything. You know, I can testify, I'll ambassador. I hope the translation was right. It was different in one, but it's, I will make you. God will do it. But are we willing to use our nets or our boat or whatever God has to say, hey, I'm willing. You do the work. I will obey and follow. And you call people to yourself, God. And it's short. In all my shortcomings in reality, you will still use me with what I've got and who I am. Are we fishing? The other part I want to ask as we're fishing, what part does the Word of God play in our discipleship, our personal discipleship and our disciple-making? The wonderful power in that encounter and the authority of the Word of God that changes lives. I love at the start of that the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. Do we still have confidence that actually our neighbors and that are opening? I think there's a greater awakening and a yearning and a hunger for this stuff to allow people to open the scriptures and encounter the living God and these stories of the grace and goodness of God and to encounter Jesus through this. Is the word of God part of your disciple making? Let's never lose trust, or hope, and the reality of that through the Spirit. And the last part I just want to think in response is this one thing, hearing the Word of God in our life. One thing we can open up and we can read Scripture and we can grow knowledge of the Word of God. But Jesus is clear, and as we go through the Gospel, we will see it, that hearing is to lead to obeying. Hearing is to encounter who Jesus is, to trust ourselves to the one whose word brings life and flourishing and goodness and being a part of God's purposes in the world. When we hear the word, do we obey it and put it into practice? I'm going to invite Matt and the team to come forward. Again, I'm going to ask as they come, I'm going to give you a chance just to listen for God. I trust that God will speak through God's Spirit and through this word that we've unpacked. I just want to, in this time, reflect. Are there things that, have we been face down in a pile of fish? Is God inviting you to a response of baptism or confirmation? I'd love to talk with you. Are you hearing and obeying the word of God? And in response, is there anything that we're holding on to when Jesus is saying, leave it behind and come and follow me and be about those purposes that we're holding on? So as we take a time and the Holy Spirit will guide this, I trust, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? And how will you respond? Peter recognized the authority of Jesus, changed his life, will change mine and yours for his glory. So Lord Jesus, as we read about Peter's experience on the lake, we acknowledge our own limitations and sinfulness. Yet we humbly ask for your grace to be fishers of people. Guide us to leave behind our own pursuits and fully follow your call, trusting that even when we feel inadequate, you will empower us to bring others into your kingdom. We surrender our lives to you, ready to be used as instruments of your love and mercy. Amen.